Welcome to Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, and today we have with us Peg Webb. Bruce Helmer is off today, and before we get started with the program, we want you to write this phone number down, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com if you have questions throughout the show and after. But for the next hour, we invite you to be a part of the show at 651-461-9226. And now here is Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb with a very special guest for a very special hour. Hi, Peg.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning. Yes, today is a popular show, Social Security Benefits in 2025. So many of you probably already saw in the news that there's some increase with historical trends now for Social Security going up a little bit. Well, the traditional way of thinking about retirement in the United States is that it's supposed to be supported by a three-legged stool, and Bruce and I talk about this a lot. One leg of the stool may be a pension or your 401k, the second one, personal savings, and the third one, Social Security. About 40% of the U.S. adult population isn't saving enough to maintain their lifestyle through their retirement. So Social Security is a big part. It was never intended to be the be-all, end-all of your entire income for the rest of your life. But given the lack of universal coverage, it's been a critical backstop for a lot of retirees. Well, here's Rhonda Whiteneck. She's actually a public relations and benefits training representative with the Social Security Administration based right here in Twin Cities. She covers the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. She has served as a claims representative, program writer, and other management roles for 20 years with Social Security. Her primary objective is to educate the public on Social Security programs and benefits. Many occasions she's been on the show, she's done live events with us, she helps explain the details of Social Security system to our listeners on the radio show, and I've been known to call her personally for client questions because she is such an expert. Welcome, Rhonda.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be back on the program, Peg. We're going to miss Bruce, but it is great to be back on the program, Peg.
Yeah, before we give those updates, what's happening with Social Security, I want to remind everybody, this is actually our most popular show each year. So what we want to do is we want to alert you that you should start calling in and lining up your questions right now, because it is not often that we have somebody like Rhonda to be able to answer your questions on Social Security benefits, eligibility, when to file. You know, how does it kind of work within your retirement income planning? Usually I jump in there, but just call or text our studio, 651-461-9226. And I'm hoping that we can get to the questions even before the second half. So Rhonda, let's kick this off.
All right, let's inform everyone about all the great news we have today for Social Security. And I also want to reiterate, I am local. I am here in the metro area. We're not calling in and getting an official from Washington, D.C. or Chicago, where my regional office is. But Social Security released its official cost of living increase, or COLA, announcement on October 10th. And the latest COLA is 2.5% increase. So beginning with December, the 2024 benefits that are payable in January of 2025, you are going to see that 2.5% increase. So COLA increased about 18.8% on a cumulative basis over the last 3 years to keep up with inflation. So Social Security and the other program, the secondary program we administer, Supplemental Security Income Payments, will increase in 2025, so coming in January, helping those folks keep up with the expenses even as inflation has started to cool down. So the latest increase amounts are about an extra $50 per month on average for a retired worker. So for instance, someone receiving $1,907, it's going to increase to about $1,976 per month on average for the retired workers. If we look at a couple, let's say that couple's receiving $3,014, it's going to increase to about $3,000 $89 per month for those married couples who receive benefits. And we also, we can't forget about those survivors' benefits. There's so many widow and widowers receiving benefits, mothers and children receiving benefits when a worker passes away. So their increase on average is about $3,669 per month. That's going to increase to about $3,761. What we also have to remind everyone is that Social Security, we're not the ones calculating and determining what that cost of living increase is going to be. That is really the Department on Labor, Department of Labor's job. So that COLA is indexed by the CPIW, the inflation each year to protect retirees' purchasing power. So it captures the prices of goods and services like food, housing, education, medical, education, energy, recreation. Those things all, tie into what retirees buy. And then that is how they determine what the cost of living increase is going to be. So if you want to learn more about those changes, this year, Social Security is rolling out our new and improved cost of living increase notice. So if you have that My Social Security account, I'm sure you go in and you look at those notices that are there for you that are pertaining to you. And that's going to make it easier for you to find out the information that you need. You're going to be able to see that simplified cost of living increase notice. And it's going to be a one pager. It's personalized. It's mailed to everyone. But if you want to see your exact dates and your exact dollar amounts of your benefit, you can actually open up that My Social Security account peg.
Well, I've done that in the past. And actually, because of this show today, I went in there yesterday. And mm-hmm. I can easily get in because I've already signed up. But not only can you get that statement, but there's so much more information on there. And if you scroll down, because a lot of people forget to scroll down, there's an active type of future forecast. So if I said, hey, I'm not going to work anymore as of tomorrow, I can plug in that date. I can see how that might affect my Social Security by full retirement age. It is fantastic. So people can get to that site by www.ssa.gov/myaccount. So if you don't have that set up, I highly recommend it. Rhonda, you talked about this 2.5%, which actually, I know you said 18.8 over the last three years, but yet that's pretty low after the kind of inflation that we've had in this country. I mean, when I go to the grocery store or I go to the gas to get gas or anything I want to buy, I feel like, wow, did that ever go up? Rhonda?
Right. Yep. And so, you know, we need to remember that by the provisions under the Social Security Act, that those Social Security benefit payments are adjusted for inflation each year to match the increase in consumer price index for what they call the urban wage earners and clerical workers, the SPIW. And that's determined by the Department of Labor and Bureau of Statistics. So we have very smart people at the Department of Labor and Bureau of Statistics that are analyzing all of this information and then determining what that cost of living is going to be. So we hear about this every year. Generally, that dollar or that percentage comes out, you know, the end of October, and that annual inflation adjustment does not apply to people's banks or, you know, their savings or their private sector's pension payments or taxable investments held outside the retirement plan or outside of like a 401k plan. So the Department of Labor doesn't look at everybody's personal situation, but they look at it as a whole. Like what is that increase going to be based on all of the analytics that they're determining in order to do that calculation peg.
So we already have calls lined up and texts lined up, but there's some other changes in 2025. If you'd like to just go over those, and then some of the things that we have in our outline may come out of the questions that are going to come in today. Rhonda?
Okay, yes. You know, we always get a lot of questions, don't we? It's fantastic. All of your listeners just challenge us with those great questions. So I'm glad to hear that they are lining up already. But, you know, I do want to get back to that point that you mentioned about the My Social Security account. really the fastest way to find out about your benefit amount and then your current benefit amount as well as what your benefit is going to be once that cost of living increase is applied. Open up that My Social Security account. If you haven't done it already, go ahead right now. You can use your phone. You can use your smartphone. You can use your tablet. You can go to your laptop, but you can open up that My Social Security account. And we also want to mention that there are two new ways of opening up that My Social Security account, and that can be through the login.gov portal. That's a portal that allows you to identify yourself, and then it will link you up to the Social Security database. And then the other way is through ID.me. So it's ID.me. And a lot of government entities already use ID.me. I know the VA, they were the creators of that ID.me, but the IRS uses it. And so many other government entities use ID.me. So if you have an ID.me, you can open up that My Social Security account through the ID.me. It's secure, it's easy, it's fast. If you open that up, you will receive your information even before you get that letter in the mail. You can set up, text alerts or email alerts to tell you when that COLA notice is waiting for you. So it's just a really, really great piece of information that's great for retirement planning or just financial planning as a whole. So if you don't have one, sign up for one. And then if you sign up for My Social Security account prior to November 20th, you will see that cost of living notice online. And so you don't have to wait for that paper COLA notice. You will be able to get it online. So once again, sign up for that MySocialSecurity.gov account. Now, we were going to just mention a few other changes, like you stated. One of the big changes here is, benefits, they're adjusted in January, right? And it's based on that increase of average wages. So based on that increase, the maximum amount of earnings that are subject to those FICA taxes, that taxable maximum, is going to increase. So if you make $176,100 this year, or 2025, I should say, you've already hit that max taxable wage base. So anything over and above $176,100 is not going to be subject to that FICA tax. So that is one of the new increases. Also, that IRMA is going to increase, which is the income related to monthly adjustment amounts for Medicare. That also is going to take place in 2025. So starting November 22nd, those individuals who have higher income based on the fact that that Medicare has put out those wage bases, you may have to pay more for your Medicare Part B. And that notice is coming out on the 22nd. We get a lot of people that complain about that and feel that it isn't fair, but we need to realize the background on that Medicare premium. So the Medicare premium Part B in 2024 is $174. So you pay that $174 for your Medicare Part B premium per month. And that's pulled right out of your Social Security check if you're getting benefits. If you're one of these individuals where you're lucky enough to wait for benefits because you're letting it increase in the background by 5.5% from 62 to full retirement age, and then once you hit full retirement age, if you continue to delay taking your benefit, then it's going to increase by 8% per year, not tied to the stock market. That is a guaranteed 8%. So many of our folks are waiting to take their benefit until age 70 because they see that huge increase that could happen if they wait until age 70 and they're not taking their benefits, but they do need their Medicare. So for those folks, we have no benefit to pull that 174 out of for Part B. So we bill those individuals for their Medicare Part B. And just a side note, Peg, that we will that individual can pay that Medicare premium very easily through the website. They can go on and do like an automatic deduction from their bank account. So super easy to pay that Medicare Part B. Now, getting back to those individuals who are going to have to pay more for their Medicare Part B, because that's that income-related monthly adjustment amount, which we are going to, you know, see shortly here what the 2025 amounts are going to be. But we need to realize that that $174 that a person pays for Part B is really only one quarter of what that premium actually costs. The federal government is paying or subsidizing the other three quarters. So a while ago, a few years ago, Congress passed this law saying, you know what, if you fall into this super high income category, you're going to have to pay more for your Part B because the government's not going to subsidize you with the full three quarters of that percent of premium. So I just wanted people to understand, Peg, that that's how that particular subject with the Medicare Part B operates. So I'm going to hand it back to you, Peg.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rhonda, in the reviews that I do with my clients, they're not happy about paying that, you know. And so I'm glad that you explained that, they're one quarter versus three quarters that the government's paying. And we can talk about that in our reviews now and say, you know, at least we're not paying 100%. Hey, Susie, let's try to squeeze in a caller or a question here. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I think we have time for at least one.
Yeah, let's do it. Bill has been waiting for quite a bit here from Minneapolis to ask you a question about Social Security. Bill, go ahead. You're on the air with Peg and our special guest today.
Good morning. I have I had a case of check fraud in my checking account, and I had to have my account changed to a new checking account. Well, Social Security is just still deposit. I answered all the operator's questions on security questions and that, but the operator wouldn't accept my old checking account number. So I still getting the deposits into my old account.
Okay.
What should I do on that?
All right. Good question, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Bill, there is an easy way to do this. If you like doing your, you know, if you're comfortable with doing transactions online, it's very easy to change your checking account from your old checking account and then give us the new direct deposit information, your new account, the routing number, the account number, et cetera. You can do that through the My Social Security portal. But if you want to let us know, you can call our Social Security, I always call it the Social Security hotline, which is 1-800-772-1213.
Is there a person
there? I am going to give you
there?
A tip, though.
I was going to say.
There is a person there, yes. And, okay. And I'm going to give you a tip. The least busy call time for that Social Security hotline, the 1-800-772-1213, which is staffed by Social Security representatives, Social Security workers. We don't offshore any of our calls here. And so you can call the 1-800-772-1213. I would say between the hours of 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., that's our least busy call time, or better yet, between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. A lot of people think that our offices are closed, but our Social Security hotline, where all of our teleservice representatives work, they are actually open until 7 p.m. So between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m., if you ever need to do any transactions or any calls with Social Security, that is the best time to call that 1-800-772-1213. And then we're going to ask you your identifiable information, you know, questions about your identity, questions, I guess, you know, some of the harder ones might be, you know, the place of your mother's place of birth or your father's place of birth. We ask, you know, ID questions similar to that to prove you are who you are. And then you would then give us that new information. And we definitely can handle that over the telephone. So thank you so much for that call, Bill. Peg, do we have anyone else on the line?
Susie, do we have time?
Yeah, we can get one more question in. This texter writes, I will turn 70 on June 10th next year. When should I file to receive my first check? And this presumes a person doesn't have a financial advisor that might walk them through that. But go ahead. And we have about a minute, just so you guys know.
Okay, yep. So this person's very smart. They waited until age 70. Peg, you know, from full retirement age to 70, they're gaining that 8% per year. It's going to be a huge dollar amount that they're going to be able to get at age 70. And so I would recommend filing online 3 months prior to your 70th birthday. It does not take us that long to process it, but it's just always comfortable to just get everything in order. I also want to mention that 83% of our online applications for retirement are processed within 2 weeks. Super easy, super quick. Thank you, Peg.
Susie?
Yes. Okay. It is just about time for our first break, our bottom of the hour break, but we have a lot more questions to get to along the lines of Social Security because people are quite curious about this. Maybe when we come back, we can answer the question, Peg and Rhonda, how much is the Medicare premium going to increase? And what are the prices of Medicare deducted from Social Security checks going to be raised at? So those are just a couple. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We'll also remind you of that 1-800 number for Social Security as well before the show ends today. But right now, if you're listening and have a question, 651-461-9226. We're back in minutes. And we're back for the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones. Peg Webb, of course, with Wealth Enhancement Group. And our guest today is, I have it right in front of me, Peg, Rhonda Whiteneck. And we are inviting you to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. And we're talking about Social Security. Peg, take it away.
How fortunate Wealth Enhancement Group is to have Rhonda Whiteneck, who is part of our kind of outside roundtable, I'd say, outside of our team. She actually works as a public relations and benefits training representative with the Social Security Administration with 20 plus years with them, covers the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin, has just a plethora of knowledge on Social Security. So just to recap, the kind of the highlights of the show is the 2.5% increase. And then all these other changes, you know, how much you pay in through your payroll, how much do you pay in for Medicare? You know, we have some things that are still coming out in the next month or so. But Rhonda, what I thought we would do is just have you mention a couple highlights. And then we've actually got Frank from Maple Grove waiting for us for a call. And we've got just a lot of texts as well. Rhonda?
Yes, Peg, thank you so much for having me on again. I know we've been working together for a very long time, me and you and Bruce, you know, back in the day when we would actually, you know, go into the CCO studios and be able to, you know, hang out there. It's just been a fabulous partnership that we've had with Wealth Enhancement, the Social Security Administration here local, and then you guys. And, you know, you talked about Medicare. That is correct. And we're still waiting for those Medicare numbers. We're still waiting for what Medicare premium is going to be in 2025, as well as those individuals who have to pay that higher income. You know, we're waiting for those increases in Medicare amounts, too, for those higher income folks, just to put them a little bit more at ease of why they're paying those higher premiums for Medicare Part B. It's because $174 that, you know, 85% of our Medicare people pay. Well, that's only one quarter of what that premium actually costs. The federal government subsidizes the other three quarters. So a while ago, Congress said, you know, for those higher income folks, we can't subsidize you the federal government can't subsidize you three quarters of that premium. You're going to have to kick in a little bit more. So yes, there are several folks that we deal with, especially here in the Twin Cities, where we have, you know, a number of high income workers. They will have to most likely pay a higher amount for their Medicare Part B. Look for those notices coming out in the next couple of weeks here. Follow the media right away. They will show you or they'll tell you what the Medicare Part B premiums are going to be. You know, and that's for those are for those folks that are already on Medicare or maybe those folks that are going to sign up for Medicare. But we also, those folks that are actually on Medicare, They most likely have what we call a supplemental plan outside of the government umbrella. It's private insurance that they're paying an amount, a premium for, in order to cover them for the 20% that Part B does not cover, as well as vision, dental, and hearing. Sometimes people bundle that vision, dental, and hearing with that 20% policy, and they purchase it from those private insurance companies, as well as their prescription drug. That's not sold. Those plans are not sold by Social Security. They're not sold by Medicare. They are sold by private, like I mentioned, private health insurance companies. That's where you're going to find out what those premium dollars are, as well as what the coverage is. So every year, what happens here is that there is an open enrollment. So you can actually review your supplemental plan, that plan from that private insurance company, see if it meets your needs, and you can change it. So there's a window of open enrollment that happens every year, and it is runs from October 15th through December 7th. You might be seeing commercials, flyers, et cetera, about reviewing this open enrollment. So you can review your current plan, decide whether you want to keep it going into 2025, or if you want to review it and possibly make a change. Go with someone else that, you know, that you feel is better, maybe costs you less money, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, people's health changes within a year. So you definitely always want to review that. Don't let it just go by, just say same old, but you want to review your plan, your supplemental plan. You're going to have your A and B. That's permanent there, but that supplemental plan, that 20% plan, et cetera, you do want to take a look at that. Okay, Peg, should we get to those questions?
Okay, Susie, let's get listeners involved.
Let's take Frank. He's calling from Maple Grove today with a question for you. Hey, Frank, you're on the air.
Thanks for fielding my call. I just have a question about Social Security disability. We have an adult son who's disabled and has been on Social Security disability for quite a while, and we are his guardians, and I am his payee. And as a result, I need to report his job earnings. He's not been very successful at holding a job. And on the website, Social Security website, it has his job that's listed three jobs ago. So as a result, I need to call into Social Security and report his earnings. And that's really cumbersome. It sure would be great to just do that on the website. And I know Social Security is understaffed, but when I call and report his earnings, they assure me that that will be taken care of on the website, that I'll be able to report on the website. Yep. But I've been unable to do that for 3 or 4 months. So do you have any suggestions for me?
Thank you, Frank, for the call.
Oh, Frank, thank you so much for bringing up this question. You know, disability, it's an important program that we administer. I do want to let everyone know, just like you're paying your FICA taxes to get that retirement benefit, those FICA taxes are also being paid and put into the Social Security Trust Fund to protect you, protect your family if you were to become disabled. So we have two disability programs. One is under the workers program where you pay your FICA taxes, and the other one is called Supplemental Security Income, which is a needs-based program, and that also pays a disability amount. But, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it about the earnings and reporting earnings, because if your son is on the Supplemental Security Income program, there is a great app that you can download on your smartphone and be able to report the earnings via the Social Security wage or earnings app. And so you can just plug in those wages. If you do it before the 10th of the next month, it will then upload and be able to, you know, cross-refer with your son's account. So that is one way you can do it via the app. If you want to report it, we also have a telephone reporting process that you can do also, if you find that as you know, an easier way to do it. So just go to socialsecurity.gov. In the search box, just put SSI earnings or report SSI earnings, and that will take you to the different options. Thank you so much, Frank. I do want to mention also, Frank, if he was disabled prior to age 22, your Social Security, your retirement benefit he can get a portion of that too. When you retire, he could be possibly eligible for up to 50% of your 100% amount. If you pass away, he would then become a disabled adult child survivor, and then that could actually amp up to 75% that he could receive off of your personal retirement account. And it's 75% of your 100%. So remember, it's a life insurance you're contributing to, and you're protecting your son through the Social Security Life Insurance Program. Thank you, Peg. That was a good question.
Good. Susie?
Yeah, 651-461-9226. I mentioned a question came in earlier asking about how much Medicare premium is going to increase. Thank you.
Yes, Susie, and we don't have those numbers yet. So that, you know, Medicare, that's a different department than Social Security, although they're the ones that will release the information, and we hope to hear within the next 2 weeks what those Medicare premiums are going to be for 2025. Thank you, Peg.
Yeah, another question.
Yeah, we actually didn't want to hold up the show just because those numbers weren't in.
Okay.
Susie?
Yeah. This person writes, Rhonda, how can I minimize the negative consequences of a large Roth conversion?
Peg, I think this might be in your wheelhouse, right?
Well, I think what she's talking, or the question is you have a big income addition in one particular year. So Roth conversion, let's just make it grand. You're going to convert $1 million from your traditional IRA to $1 million into your Roth. You're going to have to show $1 million on your tax return. So, you know, how does that affect your Medicare payment? You know, how much, because you were just saying the higher income people are going to have to pay even more. Already it's graduated where if you make more income, you have to pay more for that year. So how would she deal with a one-time event like that?
Well, the one-time event, bottom line is she will have to pay a higher Medicare premium for 1 year, depending on what that amount is, what you know, once she files that tax return, Medicare looks at that individual tax return, whether it's filed married or jointly, and then they are going to apply that Part B monthly premium amount, that higher Part B monthly premium amount to her, depending on her modified adjusted gross income amount for that year. So they're going to look at, IRS is going to look at that entire year, all of the modified or all the income under the MAGI for that 1 year. She'll pay that high premium for 1 year. But then the next year, Medicare and IRS are thinking that that's going to be her life. She's going to have that $1 million every year continuing. So she's going to get another notice saying, oh, we're going to have to pay it again based on, you know, that tax return we're looking at. But that's not correct, because her modified adjusted gross income for that following year is going to drop. She's not going to get that $1 million windfall. So that's where she completes a form, and it's called the form is called an SSA 44. And she's going to say, this is a life-changing event. I no longer have that windfall of $1 million. I need you to review this to lower my Medicare Part B. She submits that to the Social Security Administration. She can do it online, upload that form after she completes it. We will receive it electronically. We're going to ask her for the tax return or some type of verification showing she no longer has that windfall of $1 million. And then we will process it and lower that Medicare Part B premium depending on what her modified adjusted gross income is. So a review, review, review. If you get one of those letters and you don't agree with it, it's not an appeal. You're just saying, I want you to take a look at that income again because I am not at that income level this year. So that's how we do that, Peg.
Yeah, what's so confusing is that, you know, we're in 2024 right now, and it reflects back 2 years to 2022 right now. So even if they had a big year this year, they technically won't be paying in that big dollar amount until a couple years out, correct?
Well, yeah, and the reason for that is the notices are going to come out in 2024. Their notices are actually going to come out in a few weeks here. I think it's November 22nd is the date that those IRMA notices are coming out. So that notice that comes out in November 2024, that's going to be applied to their 2025 benefit. We only have the latest year to be able to, or Medicare only has the last year to be able to confirm what they received. So they're using the 2023 tax return because that's what's on file. They haven't filed the 2024 tax return yet. So they have to use the most current one that's on file, which would be their 2023 tax return. That would then apply to their 2025 Medicare premium amount. So yes, it does, you know, take the previous year, but that's just because that's the only thing that they have confirmed on file. Once that person gets that notice coming and, you know, they're starting to be released November 2022nd, if you're online, only for those of you folks that have a My Social Security account, you'll be able to see what that Medicare high premium is going to be. That notice is going to be online starting November 22nd. But if you don't agree with that, and I'm sure you've referred people to do this too, Peg, is to file that review with the SSA 44 saying, I don't agree with this. But you can't submit it, though, until January 1 because it isn't on our system yet. So starting January 1, that's when you start pushing in those forms and say, I want to review. Thank you, Pat. Yeah.
And what you're talking, it's SSA, so SAM Action, SSA-44, this form. We tell clients to go, why not send it in because you have nothing to lose, right? So just, exactly. We get a lot of questions around that. Susie? Next call.
Okay, 651-461-9226. We have a text question for Good Morning Rhonda. She writes, SSA screwed up my SS payment when I retired. Took me over 14 months to get it straight. They paid me a lump sum of $60,000. This put me in a higher tax rate and affected my Part B, my taxes I had to pay, and no property tax refund. Is there a way to appeal this since it was their error? That's from Mary. Thanks for calling in from Minnetonka.
Okay, Mary. Just like Peg and I were talking about, I would definitely complete that life-changing event form. It's SSA 44. And then you're going to annotate on there that the reason why you want this life-changing or why you want the review and that, you know, that you would like to, I think, you know, filling out the SSA 44, but then also if you just got that notice within 60 days of the date that you got that notice where they made that mistake, you can, you know, file a what we call a formal appeal. You can do that also. But definitely go ahead and do that SSA 44. And then once that review is done and, you know, it's stated that it was not your fault, that it was a mistake of the SSA of the Social Security Administration, if you have already paid that higher Medicare premium, we will refund that. So definitely go ahead and appeal that or ask for that review. You can do it where you can complete the form and you can upload it to the Social Security Administration, upload it to your local office. We have four offices. If you're in Minnetonka, most likely the office is Minneapolis, and you can get that fax number online. We're on the socialsecurity.gov website. You do the office locator, and then you upload it via fax. It isn't like traditional paper fax in the olden days where we used to stand there and grab the papers off of the fax machine. No, it's actually an electronic fax format. So it's uploaded to your account there. But definitely go ahead and do that. Thank you very much, Peg and Susie.
All right. 651-461-9226. Texter writes, my husband is turning 65 in February, but going to continue to work to 67. Does he need to do anything when he turns 65 for Medicare? He carries our insurance now through his work.
Oh, we see so many cases like this. People are just working longer and longer. It's great. I mean, people are healthy and they, you know, they like to work. They like that, you know, it's not like the olden days where, you know, you'd imagine people retiring and sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair. No, we have people that want to work after age 65 and they hold that private health insurance plan through their job, which is great, and that's totally fine with Social Security. You do not have to call. You do not have to do anything telling us that you're going to delay taking that Medicare. What you actually do is you delay taking it, and then once your husband is going to leave his job, I always say 3 months before you walk out that door, you're going to get a couple of forms completed. One is an employer that you're, one is what your employer is going to complete for us, and that's called a CMS L564. CMS L564. That's the form your employer is going to complete. That they most likely they're familiar with that form, proving to Social Security that you and your husband were on that private health insurance plan through the employer, however many years, however many months after 65. And that's basically like a waiver. That means that once you show that to us, you will not be penalized. You will not get a late enrollment penalty for your Medicare Part B because you were on insurance. You were staying healthy all of that time. So you're going to get that that form completed by the employer. Then you're going to get another form, or you're going to complete another form telling us when you want to start Medicare. So if you're walking out the door, let's say your end date is December 31st, then you're going to complete that form stating you want Medicare to start January 1. But we do so many of these cases because so many people are working and enjoying their work beyond age 65. You can wait to sign up for Medicare under special enrollment. I would go to our website, socialsecurity.gov, and just plug in the search box, special enrollment period, and there's a ton of information on our website going through these scenarios like you just stated. So I'm glad that she brought that up. All right, Peg.
Should we get one more in?
Sure.
Once you and your spouse both retire, is the lower wage earner spouse able to get half of the higher wage earner spouse benefit if it's higher than what their benefit would be?
Yes. Okay. Wow. She did her homework. Yes. Whoever sent that in, that's exactly almost verbatim what I do when I do my presentations. So spousal benefits, very important for many, many individuals. I know my mom, she received a spousal benefit she received 50% of my father's 100% amount. But the reason she was able to get it was she was a stay-at-home mom. So she had all these zeros in her work history. You look at me, you look at my sister, we started working right out of college. We have a strong work history. We're never going to get a spousal benefit because our benefit on our own work record is going to be more. And so definitely that is the way it works. Thank you so much for that question. Okay, back to you, Peg.
All right, Peg, we're almost out of time. But we did just this last one said they had a really nice interaction with Social Security, and that's always nice to hear.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't that great? And the number to call if you did not get your question answered, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Talk to you next week.